Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation this morning is from our gospel lesson from John chapter 20, where Thomas says, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my fingers in the mark of the nails, and place my hands into his side, I will never believe." This is our text. Christ is risen. Hallelujah.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
You just need to look at the bulletin and see that we are still in the Easter season. Unlike Christmas, which only lasts for two little weeks, the season of Easter lasts for 50 days. In fact, they're called the Great 50 Days until we get to Pentecost. And so our text for today is still from that very first original Easter day when our Lord rose from the dead. The events of that first Easter morning can be a little difficult to follow, especially if you look at all four Gospels and try to piece them together. The one thing we do know is that it was not all joy and happiness for Jesus' followers, who were just very confused that morning because of the events of Good Friday and also because of the events of that first Easter morning. And it all starts out with those women heading out to the tomb of Jesus to finish the burial process. Three out of the four Gospels agree that they were going out to the tomb while it was still dark. Mark alone, for some reason, I don't know, says that the sun has risen. But the women arrive at the tomb and they find the tomb open. And at that point, it seems like Mary Magdalene goes and she heads back and tells Peter and John that the tomb was empty. While she's away doing that, the rest of the women look into the tomb and they see, according to one gospel, one angel. According to another, they see two angels who tell them that Jesus has risen from the dead. And they tell the ladies to go and tell the disciples. But the women are confused and afraid, and they just go home. Meanwhile, Peter and John run out to the tomb. John, because he's younger, outruns Peter and gets there first and looks into the tomb and finds that it's empty. Peter gets there next, and, you know, like Peter, he just goes rushing right in. And John follows him into the tomb. John sees the linen clothes laying there, and we are told in the gospel that John believes. But again, the texts tell us that Peter and John go back to their homes. After that, Mary Magdalene tells Peter and John about the empty tomb, she follows them back out to the tomb. So while they are running, we assume that as a proper young lady, she would be walking. Looking at the text, my guess is that Peter and John have left before Mary gets back there. And she looks into the tomb, and she too sees an angel sitting there who tells her that Jesus has risen. And then she senses someone behind her, and she turns and sees Jesus, whom she takes as a gardener. It is only once Jesus says her name that Mary realizes that it's Jesus. And Mary goes and she tells the disciples, and Luke tells us that these words seemed to them like an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Remember that. Mary goes and tells the disciples, but they do not believe what she says. Okay? Well, sometime later, Jesus appears to the other women who had been out to the tomb. And these women fall at his feet, and they worship Jesus. We also know that Jesus appears to Peter sometime during the day, but we don't know exactly what the details are about that. And then, of course, during the end of the day, Jesus appears to those two disciples who are on that road to Emmaus, and he reveals himself in the breaking of bread. And they, too, run back and tell the other disciples about their experience. And once again, Mark writes, and they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Do you see a pattern here? This is the second time the disciples are told about the risen Jesus, and they don't believe. And then comes our text for today, where Jesus makes his fifth and final appearance of the day. And the first thing out of Jesus' mouth is, "Peace be with you." In fact, he says it twice to get the message across. And Luke tells us in his text that while Jesus has appeared to them in this upper room, they still disbelieve. So he has to ask for something to eat, and they give him a piece of broiled fish so that he can prove that he is himself. So this makes it the third time that these disciples don't believe, and there they've got Jesus right in front of them. None of that, however, is covered in John. I guess John just wanted to get to the important stuff, which is really kind of strange because John was an eyewitness to the event and Luke wasn't. But John gets to the point, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Jesus breathes on them and gives them the Holy Spirit and gives them the authority to forgive. Unfortunately, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, isn't in the upper room that night when Jesus shows up. But when he does get there, all of the disciples tell him, "We have seen the Lord." And of course, Thomas, like everybody else, refuses to believe. He states, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my fingers into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." That's pretty strong language. And it's probably because of that strong language that he has been nicknamed since Doubting Thomas. The fact of the matter is that with the exception of the women, who are the first to see Jesus, all of the disciples doubt Jesus' resurrection. Especially if you look through the Gospel of Mark, the group of disciples doubt time and time and time again, each time a new story comes into them. So I don't think it's fair to call Doubting Thomas when they're all doubting, especially in the one case where Jesus is standing right in front of them. Jesus appears to people five different times that first Easter morning. And then he takes a whole week before he shows up again. Can you imagine how Thomas must have felt during that time? Was he still adamant and unbelieving? Or maybe he was filled with guilt as the disciples retold their stories to him over and over again about Jesus appearing to them. Maybe by the end of the week, he was probably regretting saying such strong words. However he's feeling during that week, once Thomas is given the opportunity to see Jesus, he does something that no one else is recorded as doing in the Gospels. He makes that great statement of faith. He makes that great confession that Jesus is my Lord and my God, acknowledging Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And so he actually shows and confesses his strong faith in Jesus, which none of the other disciples do. The fact of the matter is, we all have doubts. Something goes wrong in our life. We pray and we pray and we pray and we go and we don't get an answer, and so we doubt. Or maybe we end up severely sick. We're in the hospital in a lot of pain. It feels like we're all alone, and so we doubt God's love for us. Why would he do this to me? When we skip church, we're showing our doubt. When we ignore God's commandments, we're showing our doubt. Yeah, we can come to church week after week after week and still not feel close to God. And part of that is doubt. There are always times when we will all doubt God and Jesus, just like Thomas did, just like the rest of the disciples did. And the big problem is that, unlike for them, Jesus isn't going to appear in our living room to dispel our doubts. Jesus isn't going to show up in our kitchen and eat some fish and show us that he's truly alive. Fortunately, our Lord has given us his word and his sacraments to prove the resurrection. So each and every time we receive the gifts of God's word and the Lord's Supper, we can be sure that the Holy Spirit is at work in our heart, dispelling our doubt and strengthening our faith. We all learned in confirmation class that we are spiritually dead, spiritually blind, and enemies of God. And because that is our condition, we are always going to doubt until we get to heaven, especially during those hard times in our lives. But God knows all this. God, more than anybody else, knows what our condition is. And because of that, he has provided his Holy Spirit, who works in the Word and the sacraments, to strengthen our faith and dispel our doubts. Doubt is normal this side of heaven. Let me say that again. This side of heaven, doubt is normal. It started with Adam and Eve back in the garden, and it continues up through today. But God's word and sacraments are stronger than any doubts. And we have that wonderful promise that Jesus says to Thomas when he says, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Jesus had you and me in mind when he said those words to Thomas. And if Jesus had us in mind 2,000 years ago when he made that statement, how much more does he have us in mind when we are in the midst of doubt, now that he is sitting at the right hand of God in his power, reigning over heaven and earth? God will be with you. Jesus will be with you. His Holy Spirit is with us each and every day, especially when we're in the midst of doubt. Christ is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In Jesus' name, amen.